Welcome to Northview Online. I hope you guys have had a great week. You know, today we start a new five-week series called I Love My Church. It's gonna be a great series, and on the final week of this series, we're gonna celebrate our 40th anniversary as a church. And then that Sunday night, we'll continue the celebration with an outdoor concert at all of our campuses. And that's where we're gonna give away our free t-shirts this year. So guys, make plans to be there. You don't wanna miss out on getting your free t-shirt. But starting this Wednesday night, in fact, every Wednesday night in the month of August, we're gonna have an outdoor worship night at all of our campuses. So if you're like me and you've missed worshiping together, I hope you will make plans to join us. There'll be a full worship team and then a short devotion as well. Be sure and bring a lawn chair, and hey, you could even come early with a picnic dinner for your family. But whatever, worship is gonna start at 7 p.m., so I hope that you'll make plans to be there. Now, as I'm sure you've heard, the CDC says that smaller gatherings are a much safer environment. So guys, can I encourage you to consider hosting a watch party? It's such a great way to reach your friends, your neighbors, and your coworkers. You could hold it in your home or your backyard or even a clubhouse. Now, if you're interested, just go to our website, northviewchurch.us, and you'll find a link on our homepage. And we'd love to help you get a watch party started. And then the Dollar Club. We talk a lot about the Dollar Club around here. Did you know that so far this year, you guys have given over $184,000 to the Dollar Club? It's been absolutely incredible. We've been able to bless so many people. Now, for those of you that are unfamiliar with the Dollar Club, basically what it is that we ask everybody in the church to consider giving $1. Now, what can you buy with a dollar? Not much, right? But when you combine it together, you can make a significant difference in a family that's struggling or a ministry that's hurting. So today we want to collect for our next Dollar Club. And if you want to give, all you have to do is just text NEXT to 85379 and select Dollar Club. Text NEXT to 85379 and select Dollar Club. Or go to our website, northviewchurch.us/dollarclub. Or you can just click on the link in the chat. And then in the last week of August, we're going to show you what we did with your dollar. Okay, let's pray, and we're going to jump right into this today. Father, I thank you and I praise you for your faithfulness. You are an amazing God. I just thank you, Lord, that you've told us to bring our prayer request to you. And so, Lord, we just lift up what's going on around the world with this pandemic. And we pray, dear God, that you would just give men or women wisdom to come up with an antivirus, Lord, to come up with a vaccine so that we can just get past all of this. And I pray for those that are ill with it, that you'd bring healing. And I pray for those in small businesses that are struggling. God, you know exactly where everybody is at. And now, Father, I just thank you and I praise you for the way that you blessed our church and ask that you would just continue to do so. And I'm thankful not only for what you're doing at Northview, but God, for what you're doing in churches all throughout Central Indiana. I pray specifically for Connection Point Christian Church and their pastor, John Dickerson. I thank you for that incredible congregation and pray that we could link arms together to make a difference throughout Central Indiana. Thanks, God. And now as we jump into this message, open up our eyes and ears to see and hear all that you want to do in our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, this COVID season, guys, that we find ourselves in has certainly been difficult at best. And I know for some of you, it's been worse than others. Many small business owners have really been hit hard, as well as those in the service industry, such as waiters and waitresses. And I think we've all had some inconveniences from the things that we enjoy in our life. For instance, sports. They've been pretty much non-existent. In fact, the Brickyard 400 just took place, but with no fans in the stands. I mean, it's hard to imagine. Travel has pretty much been suspended or at least limited. You know, Sandy and I had 3 trips scheduled for this summer. All of them were canceled. Another area is that Sandy and I, for instance, love to go to the movies. In fact, we go almost once a week. But I think the last movie that we saw was clear back in February. And like most Americans, we like to eat out. It's relaxing and it's entertaining. But the restaurants have been closed for a while. And now while many of them have opened back up, you know, the experience is not quite what it once was. Schools and colleges have been closed and just now starting back with a whole lot of limitations. Friends, I'm just saying the things that we so enjoy and look forward to have either been canceled or rescheduled. And I find myself really missing some of those things. I am so ready to go back to those things in my life. I mean, aren't there things, guys, that you've missed? I'm curious. If the church is one of the things that you've missed, think about that for a minute. Is church one of the things that you've missed? Now, don't get me wrong. We've never canceled church. We've just moved it online. But guys, it's been 4.5 months since we gathered together. So I wonder if you've missed it as much as maybe you've missed sports. Have you missed it like you've missed going to the movies or traveling on vacation? Is the church a place you look forward to attending each and every week? Or is it a place you simply do out of duty or obligation? And what about your unchurched friends? Which category would you put them in? For me, it's an easy choice, guys, because I absolutely love the church. I love gathering together for fellowship and to corporately worship the Lord. And oh my goodness, I have missed it all like crazy. Seriously, friends, I just love everything about the church. It's why I left the business world 30 years ago to go into ministry. Now, I know that some of you are saying, well, of course you love the church, Steve. You have a church with 13 campuses and thousands of people who attend each and every week. You have lights and technology, and you have a great team of musicians to create great worship at all of your campuses. Why wouldn't you love church? And while all of that is true, I can tell you guys, I loved this church 21 years ago when there's only 500 people who attended Northview. I love this church even when our entire staff could fit around one table to have a meeting. Listen, I even loved it when we weren't sure how we were going to pay the bills. Okay, maybe I didn't love it so much then. But I loved it that so many of our people were willing to sacrifice their time and financial resources to reach people they didn't even know who were far from God. I loved it that people were willing to dream big dreams for God. And friends, I'm just telling you, I still love it today. I love it because of all the stories of life change I hear about from our campuses. I love it when I hear we've helped feed thousands of families during this pandemic. I love it that you've given over $184,000 to the Dollar Club. I love it that we're able to help men and women who are in prison. I love it that we're able to help so many people that are struggling right here in our own community, as well as around the world. Please hear me, friends. I don't love this church because of how big it is. I love this church because of how great our God is. And not only do I love our church, but I love every church that is preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about the building. My goodness, if there's ever been a time we've seen that to be true, it's now. The church has continued to thrive even though we're not meeting in buildings. So when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about brick and mortar. I'm talking about you and I'm talking about me, believers or followers of Christ. If you're a Christian, then you're a part of what makes up the church. So every year in August, we celebrate the church. Not only our church at Northview, but we celebrate the Big C Church around the world. And as I said, the last week of this series, we're going to celebrate our church's 40th anniversary. And then on that Sunday night, again, we're going to have an outdoor service to celebrate, and that's when you'll get the free t-shirts. Listen, guys, let me just mention, wearing these t-shirts will give you all kinds of opportunities to talk about your church to others. I've had lots of people along the way and throughout the years ask me about my t-shirt when I wear it, and I've been able to talk about the church. And yet after saying all of that, I do realize, guys, that some of you have not always had a real good experience in church. And I understand that, really I do. Maybe the church you grew up in was just not a positive experience, or maybe you have a bad taste in your mouth because of the things that you've read or heard in the past about televangelist scandals, or maybe you've heard someone accuse the church of being irrelevant or uncaring or legalistic or maybe homophobic or intolerant or hypocritical or judgmental. You name it. The indictments go on and on. And of course, if I'm being honest, some of the criticism is valid. Because guys, the church, listen to me, the church is made up of messy, imperfect people just like you and just like me. Listen, friends, there is no perfect church. And even if there was one, the minute that you or I attend, it would no longer be perfect. In fact, I've often heard it said that the church is a hospital for sinners, a place where all of us messy people can find forgiveness, a place where we can grow and feel accepted no matter what our past might look like. Listen, guys, this is what I know about messy people. If Jesus didn't love messy people, then he wouldn't have loved you and he wouldn't have loved me. So yes, church is messy. And yet, guys, please hear me. If Jesus loved the church and gave his life for the church, then shouldn't we love the church as well? And if we are the ones who make up the church, then shouldn't we defend it? Listen, good, bad, or indifferent, I believe the local church is the only hope for our world. You say, but Steve, I thought Jesus was the hope of the world. He absolutely is. But he works through you and me. We are his hands and his feet. We are the church. So as believers, we need to take our responsibilities seriously and be all about building the church. Listen to what he said to his disciples. I love this in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Now look at this. Who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then he says, but what about you? He asked, who do you say? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, important here, guys. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus says, I know what others say. I know what others say that I am, but who do you say that I am? Listen to this question, friends, because it's important how you answer it. Who do you say that Jesus is? Well, Steve, I'm not really sure. Guys, can I just encourage you to study the scriptures and to talk to some people closely, because one day every one of us are going to stand before God and you will need to know the answer to that question. In Philippians, Paul writes, chapter 2, he writes, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Guys, listen. The answer to that question is absolutely critical as to where we're going to spend eternity. Peter responded, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, you are the hope of the world. You are our only connection to God. And I'm sure Jesus at that moment wanted to shout, yes, Peter, yes, you got it right. The church is built on Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, on this rock. Now hear me, guys, because a lot of people misunderstand that verse. Jesus said, on this rock. In other words, on the statement Peter just made about Christ being the Son of the living God, Jesus said, it's on that confession, Peter, that I'm going to build my church. I will build my church, he said. You know, I often hear people complain, well, I'm a Christian, Steve, and I love Jesus, but I don't want to have anything to do with the church, or I don't have a problem with Jesus, it's the church that I don't like. Listen, while that might make sense to you, I will tell you that Jesus would never be for you walking away from something that he gave his life for. You know, guys, the church has been around for 2,000 years, and it's going to be around until Christ returns. And if you're a believer, you need to be a part of it. So again, before you get too critical of the church, just remember that Jesus loved the church and he gave his life for the church. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, you are coming to Christ who is the living cornerstone. You are coming to Christ who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. When you step across the line of faith, you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ and you become a part of the church, the assembly of all who have joined Peter in his great confession. And the fact that Jesus is the living rock gives us the assurance that all the power of Satan and hell itself will never prevail against his church. Never. Oh, he may try and use the pandemic to destroy the church. I'll promise you, COVID is no match for the church of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, friends. Not only does God expect us to build His church, but He expects us to defend it. And in spite of the criticism, the church has always been a dynamic force in our society. For instance, did you know that 106 of the first 108 colleges in the country were established as religious institutions? It's true. Harvard University was named after a Christian minister. Yale was started by a preacher, and Princeton's first year of class was taught by Reverend Jonathan Dickinson. And guys, who do you think established most of the hospitals in America? I'll give you a hint. It wasn't the Atheist Society. Most were founded by Protestant and Catholic churches. It was the church who started and funded most of the inner city missions that minister to the addicted and to the homeless. It was the church who started and undergirds most of the orphanages and homes for the elderly. And who do you think reaches out to help those that are behind bars? The church, of course. In fact, guys, 4 out of the 13 campuses we have are in prisons. Listen, it was the church who established the crisis pregnancy centers and homes to assist single mothers in desperation. It's the church who consistently teach the moral values that provide the ethical foundation for reliable businesses. Guys, when Hurricane Irma back in 2017 and Hurricane Katrina back in 2005 ripped through the Gulf Coast area as well as through New Orleans, who were some of the first to respond? It was the church. What about the horrible hurricane that rocked Haiti or the tornadoes that ripped through Joplin back in 2011? Again, it was the church that was the first on the scene. And who was still there helping to rebuild the homes and minister to the hurting 2 years later, after the government agencies had all moved on and the television cameras had all turned off? Just ask the locals and they will tell you the volunteers from American churches were the lifeblood of relief work. And who is it that annually sends mission teams to poverty-stricken third world countries to minister to the medical needs, to dig fresh wells, to purify polluted water, and to teach sanitation and nutrition? Once again, my friends, it's the church. In nearly every community, there are free counseling ministries, generous food pantries, helpful substance abuse programs, and heartfelt programs for children with special needs, school backpacks for needy children, generous food baskets at Thanksgiving, and free toys at Christmas. Listen to me, friends. Churches are making a dramatic impact in nearly every community with both their social and spiritual services. And of course, there's no way to even know how many suicides have been prevented, divorces have been averted, and emotional or family problems corrected by the weekly ministry of local churches. You say, well, Steve, how come we don't hear more about the impact of the church in our community? Well, partly because everyone just expects the church to do good things, so not much is reported when it happens. And unfortunately, there are some in the media who are just not keen on the message of the church. And then I also think it's fair to say that the church world rarely toots their own horn. We don't do acts of kindness for publicity. We do it because Jesus told us to do it. Listen, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." And if you think about it, salt doesn't get a whole lot of credit, does it? I mean, nobody ever gets up from the dinner table licking their lips and saying, "Wow, that was the best salt I've ever tasted." No, salt quietly adds flavor and enhances the taste of most everything without getting much recognition. So friends, regardless whether we get credit for it or not, we are strategically building His church. And again, when I talk about the church, I'm talking about the Big C church as well as the local church. For instance, because of your generosity, Northview has invested several million dollars into the inner city of Indianapolis. We have invested several million dollars into helping boys caught in slavery in Ghana, and we've helped the people of Uganda through a Bright Hope connection. And guys, we're seeing so many people step across the line of faith. For instance, in 2019, we had over 2,022 people pray with me to receive Christ in their life. And we had over 754 people baptized. And so far, even though we've been online, so far in 2020, we've had over 700 people pray with me. They've texted in and said they prayed with me to receive Christ. Seriously, guys, I could go on and on and on, but I think you get my point. Where in the world would this world be without the church? Yes, the church is far from perfect, but we are the bride of Christ. And although the bride has a few blemishes and is a bit messy, the loving groom sees her without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. Look what Paul writes in Ephesians. He says, he did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. I'll say it again and again and again. Because Jesus loves the church, so should we. Let me go back to the scripture we first read in Matthew chapter 16 for a minute. Jesus is saying, based on your statement, Peter, that I am the hope of the world, we're going to start a movement called the church. And I understand that you don't know what that really means right now, but I'm just telling you, it's going to be so powerful that it will greatly influence the entire world. This movement we call the church is going to spread and change the lives of millions of people. Jesus promised that that would happen. And yet we all know that a promise is only as good as the person making the promise. Let me give you a simple analogy or a simple example of what I'm talking about. Most of us have a house payment, or most of us pay rent. Now, let's say you've got a cousin Larry. Your weird cousin Larry calls and says, I'm going to pay your rent or your house payment for the next year. You probably would not get too excited because it's Larry, and Larry doesn't have enough money to pay his own rent or his own house payment. But if Bill Gates called and said he was going to pay your rent or your house payment for a year, I think you'd be a lot more excited because you know that Bill Gates easily has the means to pay your rent for a year, actually for the rest of your life if he wanted to. Well, friends, think about this. Jesus promised that he was going to build his church. And we see several times he gets his disciples together and he says, I'm going to make you guys a promise. We're going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to arrest me. They're going to beat me. They will then crucify me. But 3 days later, I'm coming back. I don't think any of them really believed this promise. But then again, who would believe that a dead man was going to come back to life? And yet Jesus did in fact die. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave. Listen to me, please. I don't follow Jesus because of what he said. I follow Jesus because of what he did and because he rose from the grave. I now have the confidence that I can believe everything he says. And so, yes, the resurrection is the reason I believe his promise. And the resurrection is also the reason I love the church. Let me say this, guys. If you feel like your life is a mess, I want you to know that Jesus died for your messiness. Jesus died for your sins. And for a minute, I want to assure you that Jesus Christ truly is the hope of the world. Guys, the hope of the world is not found in politics. It's not found in a stronger economy. The hope of the world is found in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And that is why I love the church. And if you don't know Jesus in a personal way, I'm just telling you, guys, you can meet him today. You say, but Steve, what does that really look like? Well, let me explain it. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us have messed up. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. You and I, we deserve to die for the sin in our life. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his love toward us that while we were sinners, Jesus Christ got up from his seat in heaven. He set aside his deity. He came to this earth as that baby in a manger. That's the Christmas story. Then he grew into an adult. He grew into a man. And then it clearly tells us in several places that he never sinned. That he never sinned. And then he willingly went to the cross for you and for me. He didn't deserve to die on the cross. He never sinned. but he died in your place and he died in my place so that we could be forgiven and declared not guilty. And so all we have to do is just acknowledge that, you know what, I've sinned, I've messed up, and I need a Savior. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life. And I promise you, friends, at that moment, he'll do just that. And so I'd like to pray for you. I don't want, you know, some of you say, well, you know, I've prayed before, but I'm not sure if I'm saved. Well, then pray with me again. And others of you say, well, I've never done this before. And my question to you is, do you believe that Jesus is your Savior and Lord? Do you believe that he died for your sins? And if you do, I just ask you, you say, well, can anybody really know for sure? Absolutely. The Bible says these things have been written so that you may know you have eternal life. So if you're not sure you're on your way to heaven and you'd like for me to pray for you, I'm going to ask you right now just to bow your head wherever you are. If you're in a car, just pull off to the side of the road and bow your head with me. If you're with a group of people, just bow your head. It's all right, wherever you're at. And I'm going to pray a prayer out loud. I'm going to ask you just to repeat that prayer to yourself silently. Dear Jesus, just repeat this to yourself or repeat it out loud. Dear Jesus, I know I failed you. I ask you, God, to forgive me of all of my sins, to come into my life as my Savior and as my Lord. Thank you, God, for forgiving me. Thank you, God, for loving me. And now, Lord, I commit the rest of my life to loving you and serving you. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you and I praise you for those that just prayed that prayer. And I ask, God, that you'd make yourself real to them like never before. Help them to know that their sins have been forgiven, past, present, and even into the future, because you died once for all man's sins. Lord, thank you for the price that you paid. We love you and praise you, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Guys, can I just tell you, it's the most important prayer you'll ever pray in your life. And if you prayed with me today, we want to send you a free Purpose-Driven Life ebook. And so all you need to do is text NEXT. Go to your phone right now and just text NEXT to 85379. Text NEXT to 85379 and select salvation from the menu. And we will immediately send you the 40 days of purpose. And what you do with that, guys, is you just read a chapter a day. They're only like 3-page chapters. And if you read a chapter a day for 40 days, when you're done, you're going to say, I get it. I understand what it really means to follow Christ. Guys, I am so proud of you. I can't tell you how proud I am. Thanks for joining us today. And be sure, before I go, though, be sure and tell somebody I prayed with Steve today. And don't forget to be here next weekend as I share our annual vision message. Because some of the shift, I want you to hear some of the shifts or pivots we're going to be making because of the COVID virus. I love you guys. Have a great week.